On behalf of the Werft family, I'd like to thank each of you for coming and being part of this memorial service for Andy. The loss of a loved one is a very difficult time, and you being here goes a long way in helping the family in their grief. So again, thank you very much. Let's begin by praying. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come before you during this time of sorrow, looking to you for strength and comfort. We thank you for the life of Andy, and we thank you that you promised to walk with us even during this time of loss. And though we will miss him for a time, we look forward to a day of reunion when there will be no more tears, no more separation, no more death. We look forward to that day of rejoicing at the coming marriage feast of the Lamb. Amen. At this time, I would now like to invite Andy's brother, Terry, to come and share a little bit about Andy's life.
Perfect. Andy's Werft's life story. On Wednesday, July 27, 2022, Andrew Earl Werft passed away at the age of 64. I am Andy's brother, Terry, and am honored to present a brief history of Andy's life story. Andy was born on June 12, 1958, to our loving parents, Waldo and Dorothy Werft. Andy was instructed in the Christian faith by our parents, which greatly influenced the direction of his life. He attended Kellen Elementary, Fickett Junior High, and then graduated from Palo Verde High School in 1976. During his high school years, he was a pole vaulter and runner on the track team and a member of the chess club. Through the DECA program at school, Andy also worked at Valley National Bank for a number of years. Still, his favorite hobbies were watching and participating in sports, including baseball, softball, football, basketball, and tennis. After high school, he attended the University of Arizona and graduated with a degree in speech communications and business. During his college days, he had a spiritual reawakening and felt called by God to become a pastor. He eventually moved to South Hamilton, Massachusetts to attend Gordon Conwell Seminary to train to become a pastor. He received a Master of Divinity from Gordon Conwell in 1984. He returned to Tucson that year and became a substitute teacher in Tucson Unified School District at various junior highs and high schools. And as an aside, he did not really like that job that much. And the same with me, because I was actually a substitute teacher when I first started out too. In 1985, he became a part-time pastor at Catalina Methodist. And in 1986, also pastored at San Pedro Valley United Methodist Fellowship in Benson. During his time at Catalina Methodist, he started a contemporary Christian service named Sunday Morning Live. In 1988, he married Ann Friedel and had two daughters, Chris and Stephanie, and two sons, Ben and Brian, and later five grandchildren from this marriage. Andy and his family moved to Peoria, Arizona, where in 1992, he served as pastor of Spirit of Hope, and in 1998, as pastor of Crossroads United Methodist Church in Phoenix. During this time, he also became a professor at the University of Phoenix. In 2001, he helped open a church in Tucson called Vista de la Montaña. Andy had many significant medical setbacks during his lifetime. He had surgery when he was an infant to insert plastic strips into his head to allow his brain to develop properly. He also had major heart surgeries and recovered from stage 4 lymphoma cancer. For a long time, he battled congestive heart failure until he passed away last month. God still provided for him and his family during these difficult times, and in many ways allowed him to live a fairly normal life. In 2012, he married Cindy Travis. Her sons, Jason and Tyler, and daughters Aubrey and Caitlin became part of Andy's family, as well as four grandchildren in the coming years. Cindy's family welcomed Andy from the beginning. Throughout his life, Andy enjoyed spending time with his sons and daughters, and later on with their grandchildren and families. He was very proud of their many achievements. He also loved being around Cindy's sons and daughters and their families, and later on with their grandchildren. He was known for his sense of humor, dedication to family, and service to the Lord through the many churches he pastored and to Christ Community Church, as well as through the Awana program. Cindy also worked alongside of Andy in the Awana program. Andy and Cindy were almost inseparable during their marriage and enjoyed so many wonderful moments together, including frequent trips to their timeshare in Lake Havasu in Arizona and trips to Nevada and Utah as well. They also loved going out to eat, working out at fitness centers, and in general, just spending time at home watching movies and catching up on how each of their days had gone. Cindy and Andy loved each other so much. They were truly best friends. During Andy's illnesses, I could see the love that both exhibited toward one another. Cindy's love for Andy was especially demonstrated in her devotion to taking care of Andy when he was at home and also when he would frequently end up in the hospital. She would go to the hospital every day and spend hours with him, usually until visiting hours were over. Andy had a great appreciation for Cindy's visits during his times in the hospital and for her dedication to meeting his needs for so many years. As family, we all admired Cindy for her consistent display of love for Andy during these trying times, and we'll never forget how she gave him comfort, care, and guidance when he needed it the most. When I look back at Andy's life, there are many Bible verses that come to mind, but the most symbolic ones are from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, which read as follows. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Andy is now in heaven because he placed his faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Even though we grieve now that he no longer is with us on this earth, we all treasure the time that we were able to spend with him.
Guide us with your grace. us faith so willing.
I wanted you for life, you and me in the wind. I never thought there'd come a time that our story would end. It's hard to understand, but I guess I'll have to try. It's not easy to say goodbye. For all the joy we shared, all that time we had to spend. If I had one wish, I'd want forever back again. To look into your eyes and hold you when you cry. It's not easy to say goodbye. I remember all those great times we had. So many memories, some good, some bad. Yes, and through it all, those memories will last forever. There's peace in where you are. Maybe all I need to know. And if I listen to my heart, I'll hear your laughter once more. And so I have to say, I'm just glad you came my way. It's not easy to say goodbye.
For so many years I thought I'd never find you. You have come into my life and made me whole. Forever, let me wake to see you each and every morning. Let me hear you whisper softly in my ear. In my eyes, I see no one else but you. There's no other love like I love. And yet,
'cause my love, there's something I want you to know. You're the love of my life. You're my lady.
You get to have me up here again. My memories of Andy. Andy and I had a very close relationship throughout our lives, but our relationship became even closer after he started to have so many medical issues. I have so many great memories of Andy as we were growing up and later on when he became an adult. I will share many of these memories with you today to give you some idea of who Andy was and who he became. I was 6 years old when Andy came into my life. Up until that time, I had all the attention of mom and dad. This ended when Andy was born. As mentioned in Andy's life story, Andy needed an operation to help the future development of his brain. I distinctly remember that we had planned a family vacation to California that year, and I was really disappointed that we would not be able to go. So much for brotherly love. But Andy would laugh later on when I brought that remembrance up, knowing that at age 6, our perspective of life is not always that well formed. We both had a great childhood, and most of the time, we enjoyed each other's company. Andy and I grew up playing all kinds of sports together. We both loved to compete and always played to win, a worth family trait. Since I was the older brother, I like to advise Andy about how to become a better athlete in the sports arena. But Andy normally had his own way of doing things. Therefore, I think most of my advice went in one ear and out the other. Therefore, I think most of my mom and dad always encouraged us to play sports and card and board games as well. They also encouraged us to study hard and pay attention to what we learned in school. They taught us how to read the Bible for ourselves, informed us about what the Christian life was all about, and took us to church and Sunday school every Sunday. From the way they lived their daily lives and the instruction we received from attending church and Sunday school, we learned about biblical values, which guided us in our everyday lives, and we learned of a God who loved us. We also both realized that we had shortcomings and needed a Savior to bring us into a closer relationship with God through his Son, Jesus. This would allow us to experience a peace that the world around us cannot give and grant us eternal life in heaven after the completion of our earthly days. When we were growing up, we spent many days out on baseball and football fields, as well as basketball courts, playing with neighborhood kids. Dad played with us on a regular basis, at least on the baseball fields, which showed how much he cared about being part of our lives. Andy became a pretty good athlete and enjoyed almost every moment of our time together. Sports always allowed us to bond as brothers, and the physical exercise was an added benefit. During Andy's high school years, he learned how to play the piano. On a regular basis, on Friday nights, Mom and Dad would order takeout from Lucky Wishbone, consisting of hamburgers, steak fingers, shrimp fries, and onion rings. In the last 2 years, we brought the tradition of getting food from the Lucky Wishbone back to life. We all laughed long and hard when Andy dropped a steak finger on the floor off his TV tray, and Cindy and Andy's cute dog, Jax, scarfed it down instantly. We always enjoyed teasing Andy about that incident. In high school, Andy continued to go to church. But Andy's enthusiasm for spiritual matters started to decline. God directly answered my many prayers, and in his college days, his passion for the Bible and the spiritual aspect of his life finally returned. He became deeply involved in attending Christian meetings at the Vineyard, a Christian ministry on the University of Arizona campus, going to many Christian concerts and sharing his new revitalized Christian faith with others. He realized that God had an individual plan for his life and that he needed a much closer personal relationship with Jesus, aside from just attending church. As a result, Andy attended Gordon Conwell Seminary just outside of Boston, Massachusetts, to prepare for becoming a pastor, and graduated in 1984. He returned to live in Arizona and, of course, pastored in many churches in Arizona. Andy became pretty good at getting up and speaking in front of a congregation. He would almost always intersperse some humor into his sermons and made sure he had some good stories and jokes to tell. Andy had worked hard to earn his numerous degrees and, of course, found it challenging to pastor a church and fulfill his duties as a loving, responsible father and husband. Being a pastor is not an easy task, since there are so many demands on your time and people to deal with who can make your life very difficult at times. I was always proud of his accomplishments, especially in light of the medical problems that he began to face at a fairly young age. I watched his children grow up and become adults. I have good memories of playing board games with Chris and Stephanie when they were little girls, and later on watching Brian fly kites and launch model rockets high into the air at Palo Verde Park. I really enjoyed the times I played home run derby and softball with Ben, and at times with Todd, Chris's husband, and Nick, Stephanie's husband. Andy was there too, but was limited in how long he could participate due to his health problems. Before this time, we had started a family tradition of playing home run derby on almost every Saturday. Dad would pitch softballs to Andy and myself, and we would see who could hit the most home runs in the softball field at Palo Verde Park. Andy and I spent many Saturdays competing against one another, and Ben and I as well. Those days of playing home run derby are some of my best memories I have of Andy and Dad. After Dad passed away in 2017, Andy and I began another tradition of playing miniature golf on Saturdays. I still have the scorecards from all those games. We continued this tradition until Andy could no longer play when his health issues became worse. He always reminded me that he was the champion when we last played. When my wife Shirley passed away in July of last year, I remember how Andy and Cindy, as well as their family members, were so kind to me and gave me the support I needed at the time. My relationship with Andy became even closer during this time. I spent many days with Cindy and Andy at their house, enjoying their company and hospitality. Sunday afternoons became very special family days where I got to establish new relationships with Cindy's family that I cherish to this day. On these days, Andy and I would often watch sports, talk about spiritual matters and current affairs, as well as reminiscing about past memories. We would call each other almost every day and exchange texts on a regular basis. Andy would send me so many memes that would make me laugh, usually teasing or insulting me in a good-natured way. Due to a fall in February of this year when his heart stopped, he lost much of his ability to text. We still continued to communicate by phone. And of course, I spent numerous days at his house and with him when he was in the hospital. Cindy was so loving to Andy during this time and made great sacrifices of her time in handling his daily needs without complaint. Cindy and I always prayed that he would have a full recovery from his fall, but it became apparent that this was a near impossibility and that God had different plans for Andy. Just before Andy passed away, his medical team laid out the options for his further treatment. Andy decided emphatically that he did not want any more invasive procedures. Shortly thereafter, he pointed his finger upward towards heaven and mouthed the words to Cindy that he was sorry. Therefore, he was placed in a Tucson Medical Center hospice named Pepe's House, where he died that night. In past years, Andy had near encounter with death when he had cancer and often faced the possibility of severe complications when he went through major heart procedures. Due to his faith in Christ, he did not fear death and knew that in heaven, he would no longer have to suffer any more pain. He regretted that he would have to leave his loved ones behind, but he looked forward to his new life in heaven. Andy knew the verse from 1 Corinthians 2:9 that reads, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." Andy is experiencing that reality today. and for all eternity. As his brother, I wish that he had been healthy all of his life, and we could have spent many more years together. By the same token, Andy exhibited great courage throughout his life and taught me lessons on how to deal with adversity. His ailments later in life drew us so much closer to each other. He loved Cindy so much, but we could all see how he was suffering at the end. God finally called him home, where I am sure he is enjoying fellowship with Mom and Dad, as well as with many of his family and friends who preceded him in death. Andy, we will always remember your humor, intelligence, achievements, but more importantly, your love for God, family, friends, and community. Andy, I love you, and we'll see you again someday. Now you will hear two hymns played on the violin from Carol Putzi, a very close friend of Andy and myself when we were growing up. She flew in yesterday from Colorado Springs to celebrate Andy's life. Waldo and Dorothy Werft were her godparents.
Thank you, Carol. And thank you also, Terry, for those wonderful words. It's kind of hard for me to come up here now and to share after hearing what Terry had to say. He had the principles, the things that he had to say were just so moving and so true for us all to keep in mind. And as Harry said, even though we come to this memorial service with much sorrow, we also come with the spirit of hope and celebration. Sorrow that Andy will be deeply missed. Death brings separation, and separation is always painful. But we know that this sorrow is but temporary. That's the hope that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Listen as I read these 10 verses. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. In this passage, Paul shows us that this life is but a shadow of what is to come. Life now is but a broken image of the ideal image that God had planned for humanity from the beginning, at the beginning of creation. When man sinned, corruption entered into the world. Because of sin, we live in a broken world with pain and sorrow. But God, in his love, did not leave us in this distressed state. No. He sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to pay the penalty. Pay the penalty for our sins. And as Paul writes later on in the same chapter, whoever's in Christ, whoever has trusted in Jesus as his Lord and Savior, he is a new creation. He is now reconciled and in a new relationship with God. That said, in this life, we still find ourselves living in a broken world, one that's marred by the corruption of sin. Referring to an image that Paul used in chapter 4, we find ourselves living in jars of clay that are often chipped and broken. But God promises that one day, he will make all things new. We read in this passage that this earthly tent will give way to a heavenly building built by God. Notice the difference. On earth, Andy lived in a tent. A tent's not very sturdy, is it? No. A tent can rip or be damaged by storms. While on this earth, Andy suffered from illnesses and pain. Now, however, God promises not a tent, but a building made by God himself. Jesus tells us in John chapter 4 that his death and resurrection provided a dwelling place for us in heaven, a place of abiding with our heavenly Father who loves us and promises to wipe away every tear. Paul goes on to say that when we cast off this earthly shell of a body, we will not merely be disembodied spirits. No, we'll be clothed with a new body. Andy has a new, healthy body right now, an eternal body. What was mortal will be transformed into immortal. God, or Paul, would also write that when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that was written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? That's our hope. Death is not the end. It is defeated. And what lies ahead is life eternal. Andy's mortal remains are of no consequence because his soul is not here separated from the Savior whom he loved. No, he is at home. Why? Because to be away from the body is to be at home with the Lord. Did you catch that? Andy is finally, truly home. Andy believed this with all his heart, and it affected the way he lived his life. You know, the passage that we read closes with a warning, a challenge, and a warning. The challenge is that whether at home with Jesus after death or away from him in this life, we live with the goal of glorifying God. We live with the goal of glorifying him. And he loved Jesus, and he strove to glorify him in his life. He accepted that challenge, and it affected the way he lived his life and how he interacted with other people. Then there's also the warning. The warning is that after death, we will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And he was prepared for this also. You see, he recognized that he was a sinner and that he could not save himself based on his own works. Therefore, Andy placed his trust in God's free gift of salvation, bought by Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. He paid the penalty for Andy's sins. Andy loved Jesus. He believed the statement that Jesus made where he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. You know, Jesus followed up this statement with a question. After he said this, he asked this question. He said, do you believe this? That's a question that we who are still alive must ask. This is a question that Andy would want you to ask at this very time. Andy believed, and now we have the promise that he is with Jesus in heaven. Jesus said, truly I say to you, whoever hears my voice and believes him who sent me has eternal life. And he knew that Jesus wasn't a liar. And that's why he didn't need to fear death. That's why he could go to cross the Jordan River without fear. And we don't have to fear death either if we have believed and trusted in Jesus as our Savior. So, if you haven't trusted in Jesus to save you from your sins, what's keeping you? Today is a day of salvation. And if you have already trusted Jesus as your Savior, live for him. Enjoy knowing that someday you too will be with Andy, celebrating the presence and the love of your Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the life of Andy, and we give him over to you. We pray that you would comfort those who are here, that they may feel your love and experience your strength. We pray that they would experience a strength that will carry them through these difficult times. And if there's anyone here who does not have the peace that comes from knowing you as our Lord and Savior, I pray that even now they would come and fall before you and receive the gift of eternal life that comes as a result of your sacrifice on the cross for our sins. We just pray all this in Jesus' name, amen.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. To my knees, will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your to my knees, will I fall? Will I sing? can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
This concludes our service. On behalf of the Werft family, I'd like to invite you to a light reception in the gym, which is in the building with a copper awning across from the worship center, right over there. If you would be so kind as to please allow the family to make their way to the back first, after which you can then make your way over to the gym. I'd like to close the service with a prayer from Hebrews chapter 13. Now may the Lord, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace.